Joanne, glad to have you this morning, and glad to have all of you today that's here. My brother, glad to have him here this morning. Tommy, is he your brother? Yeah, he is. Amen. We're just glad, but we're glad to have Champion here this morning. You know, we got some senior champions here. Did you know that? Amen. We got some seniors. Some angels are among us. Some seniors. We love our seniors here. We're going to be doing a little something special for you at Christmas time. We'll tell you more about that. But Miss Sally, we're so glad to have you today. She went through a lot the last several weeks, and she's here with that beautiful smile on her face, and should encourage all of us. Something inside of her keeps her smiling like that. And as a young man like me, it makes me thankful for that hope that she gives us. Amen. Let's give Miss Sally a hand this morning. Amen. We're glad to have her always. I want us to go this morning. We've been talking about spiritual warfare. And we were talking about Samson, and now we've left Samson. We were using him as a foundation dealing with opposition. We want to learn how to deal with opposition, and we've been dealing with strategy. And as we have learned in this world, it's not a perfect world, so we're going to go to the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to start there today. I have three things I want to share with you this morning, and then I'll be out of your way. But we want to talk about strategy, and I think about what Jesus did for us on this earth. Do you think he had some opposition? Do you think he dealt with anything? So as we've been studying about history, we've gone back in the Old Testament and we've been learning about history because there's a reason for it. God gave us this land to be free. God gave us freedom. But along with freedom, I think we all established the fact last time that there's evil present. You know, we talked about that people don't want to talk about the devil. They don't want to use the word devil. They say that's antiquated. We're more intelligent than that. Whatever term you want to use, I think we all agreed that there's evil. Evil is here to oppose us. God has really been dealing with me on this subject all week, and especially early in the early hours this morning. The Lord just woke me up and was just speaking to me. And I thank God that I serve a real God. I serve a live God who talks to me. Amen. Call me crazy if you will, but I can't do this by myself. I need him to help me and to talk to me. Have any of you ever come down life's road and needed some help, needed to talk to him? Aren't you glad he's real and you feel his presence? I feel his presence here this morning. So I said, Lord, you got to help me because our world is in trouble. And so we have to understand where we're at. So he gave us the book of the Old Testament. And there was wars and wars and wars. And what God was saying is that he created this world for us. But evil came in. And ever since evil has been here, there's been an opposition. One day, very soon, we're going to go see the king, and there'll never be no more opposition. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, and God's going to make all things new. There'll be no tears. There'll be no sorrow. Isn't that going to be wonderful to be there, to be in heaven? But until we get there, God says you need to learn how to deal with opposition because there's an enemy who wants to take from you what God wants you to have. It is the will of God that we walk in fullness. It's the will of God that we be blessed. It's the will of God that we accomplish, that we become satisfied in life. But yet, along with that, there's opposition. So we studied about Samson. We studied about all through the Old Testament as you read after war. And what were they fighting for? I want you to get this. They were fighting for position. They were fighting for territory. They were fighting because God gave us the land, and there's an enemy coming to take the land, and so we must stand and fight the fight of faith. Amen. And so God wants us to understand, as Paul wrote about a lot in his writings, and so here we are in the book of Corinthians. I want to talk about learning to deal with opposition. And the first thing we've got to understand is, as we deal with opposition, we've got to learn our enemy. We've got to learn the enemy. There's a lot of intelligence in our armed services today that do nothing else but study the habits, the eating habits, the living habits, the sleeping habits of our enemy. Because you will always be a better victor when you understand what you're fighting against. Amen. And many of us have opposition. I want you to ask yourself this question. What is it in my life that hinders me the most? What is it in my life that hinders me the most? What is my opposition? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's a bad habit. You know, I get feeling good and I want to just go forward, and all of a sudden blank happens. All of a sudden things happen and I get discouraged or whatever. Something in your life. And this is where we got to be real with. Something in our life that we have to deal with. Every one of us have an opposition. And I want you to understand, the opposition did not come from God. God, all good things come from God. There is an enemy who wants to take territory. Can I tell you, there's an enemy who wants to take your home. He wants to take your children. He wants to take your schools. He wants to take your land. I was thumbing through the channels this morning, waiting to come to church, and there's all different, you hear all kind of stuff on there, but one of the Muslims say, one of their sayings is now that one day their flag will wave over Washington and not the American flag. Opposition. Opposition is very real, and the word teaches us that we're not ignorant. The word teaches us that we must be very real. So God led me to the book of 2 Corinthians. Now, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Now, I'm going to be reading a little bit of scripture this morning. So we're understanding that we got to understand our enemy. So number one, I want you to understand that Satan is a decided fact. Number one, Satan is a decided fact. Opposition, evil is real. That's a fact. All right? I want you to understand, remember I told you when you study the Word of God, you got to understand the context. You cannot just take a scripture out of the Bible, one verse out of the Bible, and expound on that without knowing what it means. You got to understand that the Corinthians was a two-part letter, two letters that Paul wrote to an actual church. Now, Paul began this church on his second missionary journey. He began this church because there was a lot of opposition. The Roman general Munimun, M-U-M-M-I-U-M, destroyed the city of Corinth. He destroyed it. And if I had a name like that, I guess I'd be man tarp stuff too. Amen. But he tore this up, and then Julius Caesar came and rebuilt the city. So you got to understand, when Paul writes this letter, God leads Paul to Corinth. Now, understand, when Julius Caesar rebuilt the city, it became a thriving metropolis. It became a hub center, financial hub center of the world. But along with that, sin began to come in, lasciviousness began to come in, and wickedness began to come in. Where sin abounds, grace doth more abound. Amen? Understand, evil is among us. So among this evil, God sends Paul to there, and there's some Corinthian believers, and Paul organizes them, and they become a church. And they begin to establish the church, and the Word of God says, so what are we talking about? Territory. God is trying to get his word in the midst of sin. He's trying to declare his word. And so God raises up a church. Now I want you to hear this and understand what I'm saying. that you and I are not living in this time period by mistake. We have been put here to make a difference. Did you hear all the requests that were given this morning? You know what came to my mind? Opportunities. Every one of you said, well, I don't know what to do for the Lord. I don't know what to do for the Lord. Did you hear all these requests today? God is saying, here's opportunities to minister. Opportunities to share a word. Opportunities to encourage somebody. You see what I'm talking about? In the midst of turmoil, God is allowing you to make an impact. Think about it in your life right now. Is there one person that comes to your mind when you were hurting and you were going through a time of trouble in your life? Somebody stepped in and you'll never forget them, right? I'll never forget so-and-so. I'll never forget John Doe. I'll never forget him in all my life. When I was hurting the most, he came in my life and helped me. And so God sends Paul to preach the word, and the Corinthians begin a church. Well, they're going strong in this church. And here comes Satan with all of his devices. And he begins to sow discord. And so the first letter is written. The first letter is written for Paul to begin to establish unity. Because what does the enemy love? He loves division. And so what he tried to do, here's Paul. He's established a church. Stay with me now, because I'd rather you learn something than just hear me preach. Amen. I want you to learn something. And what I'm telling you is, when you start moving forward with God, there's opposition. And one of the oppositions will always be to make you doubt what you're doing. So division comes into these Corinthian believers, and so they begin to turn on one another. So one of the themes of the book of 1 Corinthians is dealing with unity. And so time goes on with that, and then we come to 2 Corinthians. And I told you to turn there in 2 Corinthians. Now, in 1 Corinthians, there's a revival, and they kind of turn around, and they repent, and they realize that we've been distracted. We've been distracted, and so we got to get back under our journey. I want you, please get that. There's an enemy out there who wants to distract you from doing what God's called you to do. How many of you, now I feel his anointing up here very strong this morning, so I know what I'm saying is right, and I want you to hear it. Every time you decide to do something good, how many times does the phone ring? How many times has something else come in your life? How many times has busyness come around? And you know, I meant to do that, but I got distracted. Am I where we live this morning? We're sitting in church and the anointing is on our lives. And he says, you know, you need to call so-and-so and just love them. You need to bake so-and-so a pie. Bake the preacher a pie. Or, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. But you need to do something. You say, I need to do that. And before you do it, you know, you feel bad and all this stuff starts happening. That's what I'm talking about. God establishes his word, and his word is in Corinthian, the metropolitan area of the time when the word could go out and do a lot. And what does God, what does the enemy do? He distracts the people and turns on themselves. Well, God writes 1 Corinthians, and he kind of straightens all that up, and they repent. But yet, not all of them repent. There's still a hub. And there's still confusion. Therefore, prompts the second letter. The second letter is written a few months after the first letter, because the majority has gotten under, the majority understands. You say, why are you going through all this? Because I want you to understand the Bible. I want you to understand the Word. I want you to understand this isn't what's wrong in pulpits today is you got too much of what somebody thinks. You don't need to hear what I think. You need to know what the Word says. And every one of us get distracted. God has called Northview to change the world. We're too small. You know you're not too small. Don't you live in a world? Don't you live somewhere? Amen. Come on. Change. If you live under the bridge, change under the bridge. Amen. Change where you are. God has called you. You can do it. But it won't be without opposition. And it won't be without distraction. Every one of you have been given gifts and talents. And I want to tell you something. You know what? The Lord woke me up and told me this. He says, you need to make sure they get this. There's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And there is a spirit of apathy among the church world today, and men are dying and men are asleep, and they do not have a up-to-date relationship with Jesus Christ. They do not know Him as Savior. They're just going through the motions. And I want you to understand, the devil don't care if you go to church as long as you don't get nothing out of it. Amen. Do you know Him as a Savior this morning? Do you know Him as your Lord and Master? Do you have that fire and that zeal that once was there? Or has something come along in your life and caused you to be distracted? And you know you're not where you need to be. Stay with me a few minutes this morning, will you? Because God is speaking to Northview, because every one of us have been called for a purpose. But I'll guarantee you, there is a decided fact. And the decided fact is there's an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your efforts. Amen. So Paul writes to the 2 Corinthians. Titus returns to Paul at Macedonia to report to the Corinthians about his previous letter. And saying things are better, but they're not where they need to be. So Paul writes this other letter. One of the key words here is reconciliation. But I want you to note, now I'll give you that synopsis real quick. Chapter 2, verse 11. You see it? Lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. I love that. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, what am I saying? Number one, we got to understand that he's a decided fact. Go with me real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. Now you understand why he's writing this to these people, right? Because God's called them to make a difference, but they're turned on each other. You know what? We get mad at one another for the craziest things. Now I know none of y'all's never got mad at nobody, but you might run into somebody you can use this with, amen? You might can help them, I don't know. But we get mad for the frivolous things. Well, I was watching Andy and Barney one day. I love them. I'm really mad now because they don't come on much, and I'm really having to pray about that because I have an attitude about that. But the Hatfield and McCoys were fighting. And so Andy said, I'm tired of this. I'm gonna figure out what I'll. So he went to the Hatfield and said, why are you fighting? Because they're McCoys. Well, yeah, I understand that, but why are you fighting? Because they're McCoys. He knows he can't get nowhere there, so he goes to the other and says, McCoy, why are you fighting? Because they're the Hatfields. And the whole story was that nobody knew why they were fighting. They just fighting. The enemy wants to distract us with the frivolous things because, look, there's always going to be something we like and there's always going to be something we don't like. And one of the biggest things we don't like about people is they're not like us. Did he say that? They're not like us. And if you're not like me, then, right? You got to like what I like. You got to be what I be. You got to look like I look. You got to wear your hair like me. You got to look like me. You got to dress like me. Because if you're different than me, then we just can't get along. The Baptists don't like the Pentecostals, and the Pentecostals don't like the Baptists, and everybody's trying to rush one another, beat each other to the buffet every Sunday. And I mean, you know, we don't like one another. And we say, well, why don't you like the Baptists? I don't know. They're just Baptists. Why don't you like the Pentecostals? They crazy. They hang from chandeliers and stuff, and I just don't like them. And the devil says, yeah, I like this. I like this. I like this. Some sing for 3 hours, and then some don't sing, and some say you can't have music in the church, and some say that's all we're going to have in the church is music, and then in the preacher's too long, too short, too ugly, too this, too that. Am I telling you the truth? And every bit of it is distractions. So that I'll get mad at you. This is what's going on in the Corinthians. The Corinthians, Corinth, the major metropolitan city of that time, the hub of center of finance, a place where God can make a tremendous example. They're mad at one another. They're tore up with one another. They can't even get along. Paul has to write them a letter and then has to write a second letter. He says, I want you to understand we will not be ignorant of Satan's devices. If I don't get anything across to you, you need to understand there is an enemy. He is a decided fact. Glory to God. Man, I got so much to tell you. All right, I want you to go to Revelations. Satan is a decided fact. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. This is important that you get this. There was a war in heaven. Who remembers? How many of you believe the word of God is true? I believe every word's true. I'm country. I was country when country wasn't cool. Amen. I'm country. And I believe every word in it. I believe what it says. There was a war in heaven. I believe there was a war in heaven. Satan was not always like he was. He was created as a worship leader. He was created. He was a mighty, mighty, mighty fortress. But something began to happen, because you got to understand one thing. God, even in heaven, will not make you serve him. You got to want to serve him. So it says here, you know, Satan began to say, well, I'm just as good as God is. I don't need him to tell me what to do. So there was a war in heaven. And it said, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Dragon meaning is another name for Satan, Lucifer. And fought his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceived the whole world, was cast out into the earth. We are dealing with evil. And the evil comes in the opposite of trying to get you confused, trying to get you distracted, trying to oppose the things of God. Satan, it said he deceived. Deception is what he is. He is a deceiver. All right, hold your finger there real quick, and let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. I'm going to come to a close. Genesis chapter 3. Now, I only preach a few minutes because we can only digest so much. Right? I mean, really, I want you to get this because this is more important. You know, I got so much to say. I just got a lot to say because God is wanting to use Northview. How many of you know God is using Northview right now? I want to thank God for the new faces we're seeing come in here. I thank God for you. I thank God for you, Charles, and your wife, Mary. I thank God for all of you that are coming, because I'm telling you something, there's more behind them coming. Amen. People are hungry. And we will not be deceived no more. We will not be deceived anymore. God's got a plan for Northview, and we're going to find what that plan is. And it said here in verse 3, and now the serpent was more subtle. Do you see that? Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. And who do you know? Who was the serpent? Satan. He was more subtle, more deceiving, more conniving, more scheming. Revelations just revealed to us under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who Paul wrote under the anointing. I mean, John on the Isle of Patmos wrote this under the anointing, telling us that there was a war in heaven, and because he's a deceiver, he was cast into earth. Genesis is a prophetic revelation of who he is. Now he's, here's, get this. Heaven on earth, called the garden, called the, you know, the beautiful place that God created for Adam and Eve to live. Everything they wanted, every provision they could ever want. How many of you believe that it's the will of God to take care of you? How many of you believe that God loves you? The man of God stood up here this morning and told you he loves you and he loves his children more, but he could never. But God so loved the world, he gave us this. But he also said, I will not have you walk in ignorance. Whew, I got so much to tell you. The church world right now is not ready for what the devil's dishing out. You want to know why? We've been deceived. There's too much personality in the pulpit. There's too much personality in the churches. There's too much about me. You turn on the TV and you see a preacher's name all behind there. You don't see Jesus nowhere. You see his name. I'm bothered with that. And I want to tell you, I'm going to make you aware, as long as God leads me here, I'm going to preach the word to you and help you become aware there's a deceiver. Now let's look at what he said. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast. You know what that means? The translation of that is, God did not create him to be that way. He created himself to be that way. Do you see that? And he said unto the woman. Why did he talk to the woman, not the man? I ain't going to go there. I could go there, but I ain't going to go there. Because the man going to do what she said anyway. So the Lord said, forget you. Let me talk to this one. Y'all know. Y'all, I love you, honey. Amen. He said to the woman. Yay! I like the way King James is. Yay! How many? When's the last time you went in home? Yay, honey. What's for dinner? But this is the way King James does. So, yay, hath God said. Look at it. Now, God told Adam and Eve, you have anything you want, it's all yours. Just take it. But there's one tree. What was that tree? Somebody tell me. Knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit I feel right here. I've been through something since I've been teaching you this stuff. I'm telling you, my wife can attest to you. Mental warfare, I mean, it's been unreal what I've been going through. But if he takes my life, that's okay. If you hear I'm not here anymore, I'm just going to be in heaven. But I'm going to tell you the truth why I'm here. Did God really tell y'all you couldn't have that tree? So what was the deceiver doing? He was doing what he is. He was distracting them. He says, and then they begin to think, well, I think that's what, no, you can't think. That's what's wrong with churches today. We're so wrapped up in the emotion. We're so wrapped up in how we feel. You know, how do you feel? It don't matter how we feel. We don't walk by feeling. Because I grant you tonight at 6 o'clock or tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock or whenever, you're not going to feel like you do right now. Amen? Our feelings just go from time to time. So you got to know. You got to walk in knowledge. You got faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. Did God really tell you? And they begin to second guess themselves. And then I'm going to finish with this. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither you shall touch it, lest you die. What is the next part? Read that with me. And the serpent said unto the woman, you won't die. You won't die. He's a decided fact. He's a fallen angel. He's not God. God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Satan is not. Did you hear me? Satan is not. He's not God. There's only one God. We don't have a God fighting another God trying to be God. We got one God. Jehovah is his name. The I am. Tell them. Who shall we say sent us? Tell them the I am sent you. The one who stood where there was nowhere to stand and speak where there was nowhere to speak. And all of a sudden a world came into existence. The power and authority of his name can take a stick and lay on water and cause the water to roll back, and they walk on dry ground to the other side. That's an awesome God. Satan is a deceiver. Now his influence is all over the world. And every time I see someone being beheaded, or every time I see some stuff like that going on in my living room in America, and I see that, that's letting me know. And let me tell you something. Witchcraft is real. And I've got to close right now. But it's coming through our children, all these games and all this stuff. Let me tell you something, parents. Don't be ashamed because you tell your child no. You can't have that game. You can't play that game. Wizards and warlocks and all this kind of stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, we used to make fun of preachers when they preached that years ago because we said they don't know nothing. But evidently they knew something. The devil's an influence. And he's coming to take and steal and kill everything you got. And let me tell you this. If you sit back and don't do nothing about it, he'll take everything you got. But if you say, wait just a minute now. Wait just a minute. You know what? Devil, God is supreme in my life. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. God is supreme in my life. He is a decided fact. Devil is a decided fact. But I want you to understand this. God is a fact also. Amen. And we're going to learn through this series that we are going to build a strategy. I do not believe in the faith that carries us above everything. I wish I could tell you that if you serve God close enough, that you would never ever have to be sick. You never had to go through a problem. I wish I could tell you that. But Jesus himself said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. And Jesus said that. Amen? So I want to ask them men who's teaching in people that you can get so spiritual that you walk above problems. I want them to explain to me, Jesus, the Son of God, said, in this world, you're going to have problems. But have no fear. Why did he say fear? Because he knows how the enemy works. He's not ignorant of his devices. And he knows that one of the devices that the enemy uses is fear. Well, how am I going to make it? How am I going to live if I lose my job? How am I going to make it if my Medicare or my insurance gets cut off? How in the world am I going to live let me tell you something. I don't know all the answers to that. But I know God is committed. Before you got up this morning, guess what? He said, angels, dispatch over there. Take care of them. Walk over there. I want you to be with them. I want you to be with them. I want you to abide with them today. Didn't the word say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Amen. when your children go off to school. Whew. Boy, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I can't be with them all day long. I want to be with them, Lord. I can't be with them, but I ask you to go with them. And he's there with them. Amen. Let me tell you something. God's got a plan for Northview. But it's not going to just come. These doors are just not going to be filled with people. God's talented every one of you with a gift. And the Lord has put something in my heart that says, start where you're at. Start where you're at. So right now, a lot of you already give prayer requests. So start where you're at. Get on the phone and call these people and tell them you love them. Pray for them. Whatever the Lord needs you to do. But I want you to pray for this series. I want you to pray for me, my family, as we preach this series. Because I want you to know the truth. You are a mighty vessel of God. And we will not walk in deception. We are not ignorant. And we're going to learn to deal. This week's assignment is, write down what your opposition is. Write down what your opposition is. Don't tell nobody about it. That's between you and God. You write it down. Write down how you deal with it now. And ask God. Ask God, Lord, how do I need to deal with this? How do I need to deal with this? Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that your anointing is so rich and so real. And Lord, it's just so hard to just stop sometimes because I just love telling your people the truth. Lord, I believe everyone here is great people. I believe that they're just as fine a people there is in the world right here. But also know they go through stuff. They hurt. They cry. They get discouraged. And sometimes they want to give up. Lord, I pray this week that you will cover wherever they are with the presence of God. Their home, their work, wherever. And you will encourage them. And that as we learn strategy, Lord, our strategy has been just to give up. Our strategy has been, well, it's just too much. The strategy has been to just walk in confusion and lose our joy. We've all been there. But God, let this week something begin to birth inside of them about strategy and say, you know, here's my fear. Here's my problem. Here's my habit. This is the stronghold that hinders me. This is the thing that bothers me. This is what I have to deal with more than anything else. God, I'm turning it over to you, and I'm asking you to help me learn to deal with it. Jesus, I pray that in your name. Amen. God bless everyone. Amen.